let's see how you start a healing career. Start with a child. He only looks like a child. There are no children. The Christ has no age. Neither 500, 2,000, or a day. Go past the illusion of child. Pick a child that has an appearance of sickness. He's had this infection a couple of weeks. Nothing has helped him. He goes to school. He has to stay home. Your consciousness now, flatly, accepts the child as the Christ of God. You're not concerned about the fact that he isn't next door or he's not in the same city. He's anywhere in the world. But that child and you occupy the same space. To you, you must know, through omnipresence, you and that child occupy the identical space. To occupy the identical space. He's not a child. You're not a man or a woman. You're both traveling under false colors, and you accept the Christ where you are or where he is, as the one universal Christ. That makes his sickness impossible in reality. And because you believe it makes his sickness impossible in reality, you know that there's no sickness. Think this all day with your mind in the world, and it would not outpicture. And so you go more into yourself until you can feel the depth of your own being. Say you're not able to hear the voice, but you have a feeling that in some way you're in the presence of the presence. There is something in this boy here that is different than 10 minutes ago. resting in this feeling, it's automatically deepening. Soon human thought for you is almost impossible. You just can't think. Not that you want to, but it won't work. It just won't come out. You find that you're deadlocked into a different situation than human thought and human appearances. In fact, the human is diminished to a point of a particle. Even the boy is now playing a role. Some strange inner feeling that comes to you, there is the knowledge that there is no boy here. His fever will go away. He was never there. He was an image in world thought, and although he walks the earth, everyone had accepted him as a reality. But in your meditation, as you come to the depth of your being and Christ in you awakens, you realize that Christ in him has awakened. There is no boy. Only the Christ is present in him, in you. The work is done. Sometimes it goes just that fast. Healing is effortless. Healing leaves no feeling that you've got to strive. You've got to push him over into another place. That you've got to do something to take the sickness away. No, healing is just the Christ recognition, the acknowledgement, and the realization that follows. And it's just a matter of being patient. This has been available for centuries. It always is an unusual experience for even the practitioner who's been through it many times. Said that he was a boy who had died and that he had been buried, about to be buried in a coffin, and his mother was a widow, and the procession had proceeded out of Nain, out of the city, toward the burial ground, and they had called you to do some impossible thing. The Christ of you has already done that. The Christ of you has performed every healing in the world that has been done spiritually. So you're not turning this over to you. It's not a new case to Christ. And you must remember that. And that's why your capacities are infinite. Christ has handled every case before. Christ is always on the scene. Christ is omnipotent. Christ is perfect. You have this infinite ally who is your identity. And I'm sure if you receive this into your consciousness and develop the capacity to face the world with Christ in you, that the world will be very sure to bring all kinds of treasures to your door for your ability to bring this light out where this person seems to be. Keep trying tonight. I want to repeat this as often as possible. I want the process to be simple, to be understood. Now you get a call. It's 3:30 in the morning. The person is dying. You're flustered. Everyone gets flustered when someone is dying. And you start doing all sorts of things, your mind whirls, and you wonder, what was the principle that I was supposed to remember and all of that? Just stop a moment. It's the same always. This is the Christ of God. This so-called dying person is saying something completely opposite to what the world would see. And you can feel the parents' anguish, or the husband or wife, or the child. This person is dying. And instantly, cool off that opinion with the knowledge that this person is not a person. He never will be a person. He never was a person. The Christ is not dying. That's number one. Still die. But even then, he's not dying. You'll have to get clear on what dying is. Dying, as the world conceives it, is the loss of life. But the world does not know about the Christ life, which is the life of everyone and does not die. So he is not dying to you. If you can, find the capacity to make no judgment about what's happening, to know that Christ is life, you will do what the Bible suggests. It tells you to judge no man. Instantly to acknowledge his Christhood. Now that's the point of miracles, which are being called upon to accomplish even as a beginner, because you never know what will come to your attention. You only know that you must learn the principles that he is the Christ, that you are the Christ, and that all power resides in Christ. And to look at anything else with not even closing one eyelid. You're standing in the secret place. How many times have you stood in the secret place? Nothing less will do. It's as if you were that boy's consciousness, that dying person's consciousness. You're standing where he would be standing, but you're standing in the secret place for him. The secret place is Christ's life. If you're standing there with him in your consciousness, it's the equivalent to him standing there. Through the Christ omnipresence, Christ omnipotence, through your steadfastness and ability to hold your acknowledgement of Christ as the only presence, there can be an alleviation of the problem. There may not be. You may find you have not the ability to get the full light. There may be an appearance of death, but actually a transition. And there may be a real death, the way people think of death, because somehow you haven't been able to release the problem to the Christ. But at least you are learning in this moment of concentration on what the facts are, you're learning what can and cannot be done. And someday you'll find that saving life isn't as difficult as it would sound. You'll see through the fact that the life is not going, it is not dying. You won't feel this inner pang of futility, which translates into losing the case. It will be a simple matter of realizing impersonally that this is just another problem, like a mathematical problem. And if I react not, if I know the truth, and if I'm patient, I can be a factor in the release of this man from the belief that he is dying. It'll feel good for all concerned. Now I know it has to be done before it can be appreciated. But all sorts of strange things are done. I've often told a case of it was like Joel's case, and that's why I tell it, of this child. This child, the mother is pregnant, and at the moment of pregnancy, the child is a breech baby, and the child won't emerge. Everybody is frantic. And the attending physician just does everything he knows. Nothing will happen. The child won't turn around. And there's only one way to handle that. And so you get the call, and Even though you're not very advanced in the work, within a short time, the baby turns around, the infant turns around. I suppose infant is the wrong word, the embryo turns around. And then the birth is a normal birth. And all that happened was that you stood for that moment or two or ten in the baby's Christhood and your Christhood. And the infant turned around and was born. Now, when you see these things happen that you had no knowledge of, and you have no ability to make it happen, but they do happen, you realize that life can be different if we bring the Christ into the picture. We're working without the light. We're absent from God. And when we bring the Christ into the picture, the whole world changes. Impossibilities become normal. And I suppose you know of instances of that character. That was only one that I know of. That was one that I do know of. And I know of others, but when you participate in them and you find that you have this immense power just by virtue of knowing you're the Christ and that the other fellow is the Christ and you don't forget it and that you treat him as the Christ although you think he's the lowest level of humanity, you mustn't have any point in your consciousness which says he's this, but he's that. You draw no distinctions of any kind. There are none in Christ. And that's the hardest part, to have a purified consciousness which you can face these problems with no judgments, quickly transfer over to Christ and rest in it. And as time goes on, you find a way to transfer over deeper and faster. We're going to heal people. And I hope everything is clear so far, because this is the whole foundation. Now you can heal then physically. You can heal emotionally. You can heal financially. Anything that is wrong is not wrong. You must learn to stand in the fact that there is nothing wrong in God's universe. And just stand there. And as the Christ plays on it, you will see your miracles. Now let's stand still in our own miracle. If you are the Christ, don't be satisfied with a word. The Christ is the kingdom of God, and the kingdom is infinite. So you're not an individual person. And if you are the Christ, your mother never gave birth to you. She gave birth to the image of you that you thought you were. Let's trace our ancestry to God. Call no man your father on the earth, for one is your Father in heaven. You may not even be willing to do that, but it's a requisite of the Christ healing. You must trace your ancestry to God, for God is your Father. And if God is your Father, then you must be the Christ. And if you are the Son of God, you take on new responsibility as a man or woman. Now, the Son of God does not think with a human mind. You're not being asked to, if you're, let's say, an accountant, you're not being asked to not do accountancy because you must use a human mind. But you've got to be aware of the fact that you have the Christ mind. And you've got to know when to use it. I don't think you'll have to bother the Christ mind about doing accountancy for you. The Christ is interested in activities not of this world. All you've been doing, if you're an average person, is activities of this world. But now, with a Christ mind, you can do activities in the kingdom of God. One doesn't necessitate your dropping the other. But don't make the mistake of thinking you can do things with the Christ mind or do things with the human mind at the same time. Now, Christ's life is not human life. And so you do have the Christ life, and you walk in the belief that you have a human life too. I'm not telling you to drop one. But remember that your Christ life is perfect, that your Christ life has no beginning or end, and that you are moving toward your realization that your Christ life is your reality and your human life is at least 10 shadows away. Slowly but surely, you learn to accept the Christ of your being as a wholeness and to lessen the human self of you because it isn't there at all. I suppose there'll be many questions, and you'll figure through that I have certain information now and I've got to live with my family and my family doesn't understand these things, and my sister is of a different type of thought than I am now. Well then, there's no need to upset the apple cart. You can still be friendly, you can still love, you can still do the things you do. This is your secret life. Secret until you are so confident at it that you care to have other people see it. So for a while, we keep our secret life to ourselves. And if at the age of 2 our son is should have died, as people do, but he's not, they're not able to kill him, we don't say this is the Christ. If at the age of 6 he performs a miracle, we don't say this is the Christ. If at the age of 12 he's doing things that no boy who's 12 years old does, we don't say this is the Christ. Our secret is our secret, and his life remains secret with us. But we do the work. We have the Christ as the fulcrum of our existence. And we look at everybody with the same attitude, the same realization, because we're living in the invisible. And in the invisible, all is Christ. Out on the visible world, a person may look this way and act that way, but in the invisible, this is the perfect Christ. And so all we see in our invisible world is Christ. And when we're not seeing Christ, not accepting Christ, then we're not living in the invisible world. See if you can learn how to accept Christ in the invisible world. And every person on the face of the earth in the invisible world as the Christ, you'll be in such a degree of truth that your transformation will be startling. I think possibly we can rest in this, which I've given you as nothing more than information. But what we want to do is rest in it until it settles down within our consciousness, so that it is a practical way of life that we know we have this way of life in the invisible. It is a side of us that is going to enlarge and enlarge and enlarge. But it must be used. You can't let it grow stagnant in your life, or you'll find that the Christ you have refused to acknowledge and to let work won't take it lying down. If you desert Christ, Christ will desert you. And though your Christhood will be your reality, it will go right back and you will sleep to Christ. Now take your hardest problem tomorrow or tonight and look at it another way. The hardest problem you know you have to face. I imagine there won't be one or two problems. There'll be 150 different problems. And when you face it, quietly within yourself, ask yourself, who has the problem? Your answer will startle you, because you know very well you don't have the problem, because you are Christ. Who then has the problem? A problem that has been manufactured in the world mind, and you have said, this is my problem. You don't recognize it as an illusion. It's very real to you. Now turn to Christ. And this should not be thought of as turning to a Christ that is a stranger to you or external to you. You're turning to the Christ of your being, which is all you are, and ask Christ, do you have this problem? And there's the source of my duality. Christ doesn't have a problem, but I am Christ. Someone else has a problem that I have been accepting as myself. If I am Christ, where is the problem? My continuance in the problem is saying that I'm not Christ. By saying I have this problem, I say I am not Christ. because Christ is perfect without problems. If I say I have this problem, I will continue to have this problem because I'm making an illusion a reality in my consciousness. Now reverse it. If Christ doesn't have it, and Christ doesn't, how can I have it when I am Christ? The problem is the inability or unwillingness to accept that I am Christ. Now face that tomorrow. Face it just that way. And after you've decided that you are Christ or not Christ, perhaps the problem will look quite different. That's an assignment. To face a problem, a major problem. And I'm hoping some of you say, well, I don't have a major problem. I'm Christ. We'll see. So I'll see you in the morning. And now that we have more or less done a good deal of the groundwork, maybe we can get ambitious and try a few things that we wouldn't have dared when we first started. And until then, I'll say good night and thank you very much for what I consider to be a perfect opportunity for all of us to make some progress. Thanks a lot.